Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to One and Done, the podcast about a drink and whatever the hell else we want to talk about. This is Eric.
This is Adam.
Jason.
And Wayne.
Is that better? That's
yeah.
That sounds good.
And tonight we are drinking Furious by a local brewery here in Minnesota, Surly Brewing Company. It is an IPA, very hop-forward IPA.
All right.
All right. Cheers.
All right.
I got to get up again.
I got to make a reach.
I like sitting in the middle of the table. I can talk while we clink.
It's about time.
Reached around
that
my
I talk
mic.
Or that I clink?
Both. Yes.
Yeah, you were kind of quiet last time.
Wait, last time, like last...
Time.
Last time.
Okay.
Drink. Last time we were together.
Okay, yeah.
With the drink.
You'll have that.
Mm-hmm.
Important. Qualify.
Yes.
So this is a 6.2% alcohol, 99 IBU for you beer geeks out there.
I remember the first time that I tried this, actually, and the first thing that came to mind was, wow, just the pine came through, just incredibly strong.
Like taking a spruce tree in the pooper.
Except you, that wait,
I was going to say, you taste things through your pooper? Just clarify that.
Taking. No. Oh. Oh.
I heard
oh.
you say taste it through.
That's what I heard, too.
Yes.
I was like... Well, we all do.
Well, it's my third superpower.
Oh, I was going to go with licking an air freshener, but okay.
That's not a superpower.
No, that's what it's just like not taking it in the... Why?
No,
tasting
it via the taint. Is that? Is that
all right, next topic.
Is that the tongue twister?
So tainting it.
Nice. So back to the beer. I think I mentioned this is an Imperial IPA. This is one of the first ones they mass produced. Just to let everyone know, we're not really talking about this beer much because we've all had this so often because it's
That's true.
Local for us. And
it's true. It's been around for, 6 years, 7 years now.
Because you didn't even read the can.
Well, okay. That's, at top it says, beer for a glass from a can. Fresh beer, keep it cool. On the back it says, get surly. A tempest on the tongue. Or a moment of pure hop bliss. Brewed with a dazzling blend of American hops and Scottish malts, this crimson-hued ale delivered waves of citrus, pine, and caramel toffee. For those who favor flavor, Furious has the hop fire your taste buds have been screaming for. There you go.
But yeah, this is...
It's a good staple. I mean, it's a good staple IPA at this point.
To be honest, this kind of is my go-to beer now. I mean, it's something that... it's because it's always interesting enough where I don't get bored with it, and I don't have it often enough where I get bored with it either, so...
See, their Bender is my staple.
Okay.
I really like their Bender.
Yeah, I've kind of... when I go IPA, I actually tend to go bigger than this now.
Yeah.
If I can get abrasive, I will.
Oh yeah,
because that's amazing. I would consider that better than this.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Abrasive is their Imperial IPA. It's
their double. Yeah.
Double.
Yep.
And it's usually about 50% again more expensive, but definitely worth it.
Right.
Yep. It's a little sweeter, a little hoppier.
Cynic is really good too.
Cynic and light. Or not light, hell, which is German for light, I'm sorry, are the two that my wife really like.
Yep. I really like hell if I don't want a lot of flavor.
Oh, speaking of hell, Adam, we were just talking in the previous podcast about tasters like sommeliers and so on and so forth, and you were talking about Reddit and people, the five-year-olds, something about asking questions.
Yeah. We were talking about the...
nice tea out.
Explain like I'm five subreddit, where they basically explain to you a complex question in layman's terms. And one of them was just that, some people like to boast about the fact that they can taste all the subtleties. And I think that's true that some people can, but I just found it very amusing that you... Especially once you get into kind of wines and craft beers, people tend to make up stuff sometimes about what they're tasting. And I just find that hilarious because it's like, really, like, why can't you just enjoy the beer? I like talking about it a lot, but sometimes I'm like, what are you even talking about?
Well, it's interesting because like the sommelier tests that they go through, they have to go through and they have to pick out the various wines and they learn regions and they have to be able to identify the regions and... Mm-hmm. Very extensive. And it's interesting, and so they because they have to test against it. They're all sort of. I mean, The yeah. tests are very extensive.
Yeah, they're.
But to me, I kind of go, okay, is it really that you can then taste these things, or are you just sort of calibrating your tongue
mm-hmm. right.
through all of this training?
Yeah.
To be able to pull that out versus mm-hmm. to, you know.
I believe it was an episode of Mythbusters. They did it with vodka where they had 9 or 10 different, like from bottom shelf to top shelf vodka. And they had some right. guy come in and he put them almost in exact order from low shelf to top shelf.
Right.
Whereas the Mythbusters team did it as well and they completely effed it up.
Idea. You know,
they,
right.
Like I think one of them put like Grey Goose as the second to the worst. And
oh my.
You know, it was, and not that Grey Goose is, you know, considered the best in the world, but you know, it's definitely better than Kharkov or Phillips or whatever yeah. else you're gonna buy.
And learning, you know, learning how to taste all that, you end up changing what you like and dislike. But for the mass public, it's sort of like just drink what you like.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Exactly.
If you like a $9 right. bottle of wine,
oh yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Since we're on this topic, darkness. We obviously wrote for Darkness Day. I opened a bottle at Christmas at my mom and dad's house this year, and my brother was giving me a lot of crap about sitting in line to get a beer and paying $20 for a bomber and can't believe you spent that on a beer. And I opened it and he drank it and he's like, this tastes more like a wine to me than a beer. And he's like, I understand why you sat out and right. and did what you did to get it.
Right.
And it was fun because we're reading the bottle like you do, and you know, they have the chocolate and toffee, and I think it has
anise.
Prunes, I think, is in there. Prune well, yeah, notes and things like that. Yeah. And I was reading the bottle as my dad and brother and I were drinking it, and they were like, yeah, we're pulling out a lot of these flavors. So, I mean, I think if you know what's in there, you can pick them out.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot, too. It's harder to pick out stuff specifically when you're trying it. You don't know what's in it.
Yep.
Because when I busted out that exact same thing, Darkness, and had my family taste it, I kind of asked everyone what they tasted, and it was everyone kind of tastes different things. You know, it's kind of what you want to taste. Sometimes it's what you think you taste. So
yep.
right,
and then sometimes like with the tasters, it's they trained their palate to understand. Oh, there's the anise. There's the plum.
Right.
There's
yeah. the, you know. I think the example someone gave was that it's similar to someone who is really into music. And instead of just hearing the song, they can pick out all the different instruments and what they're doing oh, versus absolutely. Someone who's not trained, you know, and that's a great example.
Well, yeah. Well, and yeah, here's an example. I grew up with my father who was an audiophile, and so we had all kinds of, you know, audiophile equipment around all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tubes and whatever, right? So literally he can
tube
sit
tops?
There. Yeah, yeah. No, the tubes.
What did they ever have a hit single?
Yes, just the one.
Yep.
So, consequently, I have somewhat of a trained ear for some of the quality of sound and stuff like that. Because I literally sit there, and he would sit me in his chair in his specially oriented little music studio area, and you could put on, you know, a vinyl Fleetwood Mac album and go, oh, here's where they are in the studio right now, whereas you're recording it. You could actually get, you know, actual stage sound and actual idea of where people are positioned as they've been recording it. Mm-hmm. It's because the quality is just that good. So, yeah, and that's something you don't just pick up. I think it is trained, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, conductors have to – they learn and they figure out and they train their brain to be able to track the entire orchestra right. and the piece that they're playing to the note for all of the instruments that are going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah.
And just knowing when all of the, you know, when a section might be featured that the audience doesn't know is featured, they're going to focus on that. And, you know, so.
Yeah.
It makes me think of a bullshit episode with Penn and Teller, too, about water, which we can talk about in the next podcast.
That's perfect.
We're all done.
We are done.
That is one and done and done. This has been Eric.
This is Adam.
Jason.
And Wayne.
See you next time.
Thank you much.